Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And we're going to be starting with verse 18. It may be the only verse I'll read, but I don't know. But if what the Lord, where the Lord leads is where I'm going to follow. I do thank you for being here. And not only that, I thank you for allowing me to be the pastor. And with y'all's help and with y'all's prayers, I believe in my own heart that the Lord has something special for each and every one of us today. Because of, you know, I know it's because of what we try to do, and sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, and sometimes it seems like that, well, what I've done today, it just didn't seem like done anything. Well, you know, I think we're going to all feel that sometime in life, especially in the Christian life, that we just don't feel like that we've done enough. And when we feel that way, we'll also feel like that we've let the Lord down. And We've let the Holy Spirit down. We let the Lord down, and we let the Father down. But you know, I always go back to what somebody said to me years ago. He says, "Don't worry about what you've done for the Father. Just worry about you not doing anything for the Father." And he says, you know, we all have good motives in anything that we do for the Lord. Yes, when we go out there and visit people, and we're going to see people, when we talk to them, yes, we want to see some results. We want to see where, yeah, they got saved. Or where they, you know, they said, "Well, I appreciate you coming by." But there's so many people today that don't even really look at it even that way. And what I believe today is the saddest thing for the church and what the church is going through in everyday life. Now, how many of you can go back and remember when you could be down at on Main Street. You could be walking up Main Street, going to Belts or some of the other shops and things, and you'd be walking on the sidewalk. And the next thing you see somebody coming down towards you, but then you see them walk to the other side of the street and get on the other sidewalk and coming the way that I was coming from. And they would keep on, and then we would notice them when we turn around and look, or when we cross the street ourselves and go into a place of business, that we would notice that they had already switched. They had switched from the other side to the side that maybe I was walking on. And one day, one Saturday, me and my grandmother was down there on Main Street. Was walking up it. That's when I was staying with her and doing a little work down. I mean, we're trying to work at the Goodyear, but I just couldn't be cooped up all that much. But that's all beside the point. But the thing about it was, I see the individual that just had crossed in front of us, ahead of us, to the other side of the street, to get out from our view. And then you would have to end up going across the street yourself to go into a place of business that you want to go into, if it's a bank or whatever. And as soon as you turn and you walked out and you walked in the crosswalk to the other side of the street, you'd look down and you'd look up, see if anybody was coming. When you looked down, I could see the man that just had crossed the street earlier. But now he was behind us, walking on down the street. And I asked my grandmother about that, because she was a godly woman. She was some of the old time saints. And I asked, I said, Grandma, why did he do that? When he didn't go into no shops. He just walked right past us on the other side of the street. And then he crossed over. And there he goes behind us. The reason he done that is because he knew that he felt the presence of God around, but yet he didn't feel the presence of God in his heart. She said, he won't saved. I don't know his heart. Maybe he is saved. But maybe he's doing something wrong now as a Christian. And he just didn't want to come and walk by us. Now, I know I ain't the only one can remember that. But I can remember that so vividly that it had just happened yesterday. People back then, even the lost people that didn't want to have anything to do with God at all, they had more respect for a Christian and for a man of God than you could believe it. The respect that they had more respect back then. And being lost and probably shacking up and drinking and all that and everything, but they had more respect for the people that love God. They didn't cross the highway because my grandmother was a Christian. Ain't the reason they crossed the highway. They crossed the highway because they felt something. And I'll tell you, if you ever get in the presence of God, you're going to feel God. I mean, that day that I went to church for the first time since me and my wife had gotten married. Went to church that Sunday up at Brush Arbor. My friend that I had at the time, he was telling me about the preacher. They was all talking about the preacher, how good a preacher he was, and how you can really understand him. I said, okay. And I told Shep, I told Jackie that I may come this Sunday, and if I do, don't ask me to come back, because I'm not aiming to come back. Don't ask me, Shelby, if I'm going to go next Sunday. Because I'm not. I'm not going next Sunday. I'm going. The reason I'm going is because you're on my, and this is where I said it, because you're on my back about going. Did I need to get in church? And Jackie, every time me and Jackie went down to Bugs Island or Hyco Lake on Saturday and fish, he had me out in the middle of the water. I mean, he didn't have me right up to the shore, up to the banks and everything, to where maybe I could jump out of the boat if I wanted to and get tired of him talking. But no, he had me out there in the middle of Bugs Island Lake when it was probably, where it was probably at, probably 200 feet deep or 100 feet deep. It didn't make no difference. If you were one but 5 foot deep, I was still scared of it, because I was scared of the water, because I didn't know how to swim. And you say you went fishing? Yeah, I went fishing like a dummy. But the thing about it was, he talked to me more about the Lord that day than anybody that I'd ever heard before. I mean, I've had people to come to my house and to witness to me. But that day, he was saying stuff that I had never heard in my life. I didn't know anything about none of it. But what he did say in each and every sentence when he got through with it, it was always a little nugget there that I would pick up on. And when I picked up on that nugget, then I started chewing on that nugget. When I went to church that Sunday, for the first time in, it'd been already 20 years, I had no intentions of going and listening. I had no intentions at all ever going back. I even had no intentions at all in shaking the preacher's hand, which I come to find out, the preacher wasn't even there. The pastor of the church wasn't even there. He was in Richmond. But it was a missionary that came by, and he asked that missionary, could he speak that Sunday? Now, he was a Mexican. Last name was Rodriguez. I don't know if he got his last name. First name, I couldn't tell you, because I couldn't pronounce it anyhow. But the thing about it was, he'd be standing up here behind the pulpit, you know what he would be preaching on? He'd be preaching on two words that was in the Word of God. He read scripture for it, and he read several other scriptures. But he, the first thought that he had, and the first thing that he preached on, was hell. He preached on hell. And I never heard anybody preach on hell before. Matter of fact, it had been years and years since I even heard anybody preach. Because if I went to my grandmother's and stayed with her on the weekends during the wintertime, springtime, that we knew when come Sunday morning, we didn't say anything to her about, have I got to go? I got a tummy ache. We had to go in and get dressed. Because if we didn't, we knew what was coming. And we had to promise her the first of summer, me and my brother, the one now is there in heaven with my grandmother. We would go there every summer because we had a good time there. They had a big farm. We went and we would run the chickens and the hogs and the milk cows and everything. We'd run all the animals and everything. We'd just have a good time. But the thing about it was, you never lost respect for her. Because when Sunday morning come up, church time. And it wasn't just preaching. It was Sunday school. It was Sunday school and then you had preaching. Had to go back Sunday night. Then had to go back Wednesday night. And I remember one time my brother that was with us said this. Says, Grandma, why do we have to go to church so much? Why? I want to say, I mean, one time a week's enough, I would think. And she said this back to him. She says, Darrell, there's going to be a day and time that you're going to say to yourself, you wished that you had followed the Lord a whole lot earlier in your life than you did. Once you fall in love with Jesus, you'll fall in love with the church. And when you fall in love with the church, then you know that everything is going to be okay. Because you got somebody else that you can talk to that you cannot see. And I said, and people today still don't understand that. They said, well, I can't see God. Why I want to talk to somebody that I can't see? If I want to talk to somebody, I want to talk to somebody that I can see. Well, I would had rather talk to the Lord, the one that I can't see, than to talk to 25, 30, maybe 100 people that can see. Because I'm going to get less information and less of a blessing from the individuals that I do see. And I'm going to get more of a blessing from the Lord in whom I don't see. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed, lost in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 18, the Lord is speaking to Peter. And he's asking Peter, he said, Peter, I want you to go out here, and the first sign of the ground that you are at, that you see where a church could be built there. And he said, Peter, and upon this rock, what was that rock representing? That rock was representing the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that rock was founded there by Peter. And the Lord spoke to Peter, says, and I will build my church upon this rock. What he was doing there, said, and he was asking Peter. He says, Peter, what I want you to do now, I want you to go. I want you to go over beside that rock. And I want you to talk to me. And I want to speak to you. Peter, you know how to go about building. You know the things that you must do in building a building. But this is going to be a different kind of building. This is going to be a building for the individuals to where they can come in and worship the Lord. Where they can come in and talk to Him. Where they can come in and get the orders from Him. And the Lord Jesus, He did give Peter the orders. He gave them the orders in which they would come about and building the church. The first thing in building a church, it must be built on prayer. You need to have a prayed up life. You need to have a prayer of faith. You must have a prayer that other people knows about the prayer. But the church itself, as a whole, they need to pray. They need to pray like they've never prayed before. The church Jesus built is first of all a praying church. Now, second of all, it was also a giving church. That's the first two noticeable things in a church. When you come visiting to a church, you should be able to notice the people, any pews, any pastor, any deacons praying. And you must also see where the people or giving of their earnings for the week. And that's a giving church. That's a giving church from the heart, not from the mind, from the heart. Because if we listen to our mind, and if we give to the church, and what's on our mind to give, we're going to come up short every time. Every time. You know, I always like God's analogy. And when God comes up with something, when you find something in God's Word, I mean, it always, He has our best interest at hand. He's always thinking about us. He's always thinking about me. And He's always thinking about you. But first of all, He's also thinking about the church. And when He thinks about the church, and with the church, He can get the people in order. They don't want to get benefit from it. They won't get benefit from it. Because if we, you know, if we pray, we need to go to the Lord, to God, and say, and we pray for Him. We pray for His leadership. And we pray that He'll go and speak to these people. See, we've done all we can do. I cannot do no more. And I cannot do no less. But I've done it. All I could do. A praying church. A giving church. And a soul winning church. You know, we say today that you don't see many people going out and visiting no more and having a particular night or particular day to go out and just knock on doors and tell people about Jesus and tell them and then invite them to church. But what we do it all wrong anyhow. Because what we do, we go to the people, yeah. And that's good. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that we done got in order. We go to the people. But that's where we stop. Because we go to the people where it's on our property. And 9 times out of 10, they've invited us into their home. And yet, just because that we are Christian, and just because that we know what God's Word says about certain things, we want to go in there and condemn the people because of them certain things that they may be doing there. You'll never win nobody that way. You'll never get nobody ever to visit church that way. We need to give people hope. We need to give them something that they can look forward to. That as after we leave, the individuals, the man and his wife, and the children around there, one may come up and say, you know something? I've never heard a man preach. But I think I'll like it. Because I like him. You know, they first got to like us. They got to first of all like us. And what we're saying. And the way we say it before they will ever come to the knowledge of the church. Soul winning, yes. We don't need to just show up. We need to be there when we start talking. What we need to do, we just need to tell them about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And if they want to talk about that, what the Lord done for me, and they allow me to talk about it, I can talk to them, and I can talk to them, and I can talk to them all day long if they want to. Now, if you don't believe me, you ask Bill. If you don't believe me, you ask my wife. I mean, when somebody asks me something about the Lord and something about the church or something like that, and if I get on it, I don't know when to stop. Right, Bill? because I love to talk about him. Because I want to learn more from him. Because the more I walk in this life, and the more that I read his word, and the more that I pray, that's when I look at my own self as somebody that's not even should even pick up the Bible, because it's the least that I know. Every day that goes by is going to be the least that I know. Why is that? Because I done picked up on something else. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once they was blind, but now they see. Oh man, praise God. And I was just talking about somebody else, about the lamb. Well, praise God, this man can see now, hallelujah. I mean, he can see where he's going. He can see Jesus. And when I get to thinking about that now, I always think about Brother Stamps. There's a whole lot of things in this life he hadn't seen. Because at a real young age, and I think it was before 12, he could see. We went to school together. We went to school together at Dan River back in the 60s, in the early 60s. I had not seen Brother Stamps except from a distance. But I couldn't call his name because I knew of him. But I couldn't call his name. But let me tell you something, how God is and how God is so great. Hey, and this is speaking about every individual, whether they are sick or whether they are not. But that's Wednesday night, I believe it was, that I walked in here for the first time in a pretty good while. I think it was probably y'all had revivals, it was a couple years back then. And I come. But Brother Stamp sitting right there on his second pew. As soon as I walked in the door, I went over and reached over and I was going to shake his hand. And I asked him, I said, "How you doing tonight, sir?" That's the only thing he heard of me is my voice. And he said, "I bet you I know who you are." I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I really can't place you right now." He said, "You can't." He said, "We went to school together at Dan River." "We did?" He said, "Yeah." And he called me by my name. Ain't you Donald Mahan? I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, now, what's your name? I can see and I could hear all that, but I had to ask him face to face, what's your name? That's the way God works. God, if something is taken away from us at birth or even down the road, something that one of our senses is taken away from us, the Lord Almighty will always touch the individual in a different area of their life. We've seen it. We've seen it as a church group. I've seen it myself, my eyes focusing on it. I got three other things, but I'm not going to mention but one, then I'm going to dismiss. But you know what that one thing is the love that the church has. We, first of all, we have got to have love between ourselves and to each other, and we have to have love for the individual that's walking up the highway. This may be staggering from one side of the road to the other. See, God is no respecter of person. God is not going to do something for me the way we'll not do it for somebody else. That's what he went to the cross for. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for that beggar right here in the highway. He went to the cross for every human being that was born and that will be born after then. He went and died for them, and they did not take his life. He gave his life freely. And that right there is talking about love. Well, only he can give. Only he can give. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. You wouldn't turn it. I thought I saved it, but it didn't. Romans 5, verse 5. And I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would surely dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me." He died for us. "Much more then, being known, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By him we have now received the atonement. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Father, for the very words that you gave me this morning to speak. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, I spoke them in a way to where the individuals here could get a little nugget from it, Father, that they can get and they can take it and they can just chew on it. And they can just chew on it until that nugget is eat completely up. Until they do what that word says for them to do. And then, Lord, that they will be so enthused. They will be so happy because of what they've done. And Father, and I pray, Lord Jesus, after they realize what they've done and they've followed your command. Oh, Father God, we ask, Father, you'll do it again in their life. Do it over and over and over in the life, Father. Father, help us all to walk a little closer to you. Help us, Lord, our prayer life would be a life of love towards you, but especially towards the love of the people out here that don't have nothing to look forward to. Help us, Father, that we can bring them some kind of hope. Be with us this week. Bring us back next appointed time. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may speak to someone this week so that they may say to themselves, I tell you what I'm going to do. I know they've been praying for me. And the Lord, I just felt something. I don't know what it is. But Lord, just be with me as I may go and visit the church this coming week, Father. Oh yes, Lord, I would love to see somebody come in. I would love, Lord, to see somebody come in and then come down to the altar and get saved. And I would love for somebody to come in and not just get saved, but Father, they want to be baptized. They want to join the local church. And Father, and yes, and they want to serve you, Father. Yes, all of that can happen. And I know it can. And I'm asking for this prayer request to be done in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.